Good morning. It's that time when I start making fun of people that are, scary enough, supposed to be in charge of running the world. And when you look at the series of dumb decisions they make, you just can't help it but start going, you know what? At this point, I'm convinced I can run, you know, I can be part of these guys. You know, in fact, I think I would make even way better decisions than most of these guys. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Today's discussion, a thousand apologies after, creatively, drafting what would have been on my poster. I thought I'd share, I shared it with my, with my production team. It turns out I sent it to, to a colleague instead of putting it, sharing it with the production team so they can be just, make an awesome poster for me. My sincere apologies on that one. Now, but what I, what I decided to basically put on that poster, which will be today's discussion here on Mind the Gap, is just how crazy human beings are, which is why I'm saying that sometimes human beings, we're actually nuts when you look at the things that we do. When you just take a few steps back and just look at the, what we do versus what we want, they are more often in conflict. I have a short list here for you. One, we want to drive, a point of correction. We want to ride each other at 40 kilometers an hour, but, she doesn't want to fall pregnant. I don't want to be a father. Now, just look at that. What we are doing versus what we want. And you can't help but go, you guys nuts. So, you have a bunch, and this, by the way, is not just taking place in high school. This is taking place in workplace. This is a place that's filled with adults. They are running around in bathrooms, tables, and all those places, while riding each other at 40 kilometers an hour. But, when she finds out he's pregnant, first of all, she's shocked as hell. How this happened? And then, well, she now sends that message to what Mother Nature thought, should be the head of the family. Upon receiving the news of the pregnancy, the head of the family's first question is, how is this possible? Look, if I was a woman, I found I was pregnant, I shared it with a guy who was doing me, and his first question is, how this happened? I would fear for the future of my children for the rest of my life. Because if that's his question, how would this happen? Really? You forgot? Already? Was it that bad? Now, that's just one example. Moving on. Example number two. We want to drive drunk, but we don't want to get, we don't want to get involved in car accidents. That's us. And you know what's my favorite part about this whole thing? This is the world over. Black, white, tall, fat, short, thin. We're all crazy. We want to drive drunk, but we don't want accidents. Really? How do you think the natural procession of causation and consequences works? What we decide on is the action. The consequences come by default, by default of the actions we pick. So we want to go 40, but don't want to, but don't want to end up, dealing with pregnancy. We want to drive drunk, but we don't want car accidents. And, there's one, my all-time favorite, We want to ship all the natural resources raw. But we want employment on the continent. What on earth are we smoking? Now that one, the first one of 40 kilometers an hour, but don't want to fall pregnant, that one is universal. Second one of driving drunk but don't want, yeah, driving drunk but don't want to be, to get involved in a car accident. That one, again, is universal. Now, the last one, that one is a purely African thing, where you have a bunch of fully grown men and women running around saying, if you vote for me, I will create employment. And then you vote for that poor idiot. The first thing they do is put all the natural resources in raw form on a bunch of train, you know, on a bunch of train cars and ship them unprocessed. When you hear the word processing, just think of employment creation, because that's how it's supposed to work. And then you have Africans going, you know what? We will create employment by shipping all the means of employment creation out of the continent. Look, well, to be fair, the stupidity here falls also on Africans, especially those of us that like to say, I'm not into politics. Because, when politicians say, I will create employment, they never really say where. So technically, they are creating employment, just not in Africa. They are creating employment in China, they are creating employment in Europe, they are creating employment in they're creating employment in the US, because when you ship all the copper, for example, where it's processed and made into computer chips and all these cables that's power cables. Well, when this natural resources is being processed in China, it's creating employment. So technically they're right. So when a politician says, I will create employment, ask them where. Because saying they are not creating employment by shipping all the natural resources in raw form is technically incorrect, because even though the employment is created in China, they are creating employment nonetheless. You know why I like technicalities? Is because of how easy they are to exploit to my advantage. And it's even way better if you have ADHD. Now, you ship all the natural resources to Europe. Technically, you are creating employment, but in Europe. You ship all the natural resources to the US. Technically, you are creating employment, just in the US. So when a politician say on the African continent that if you vote for me, I will create employment, ask them, this employment that you know talk about here, where are you planning on creating this employment? We're talking about in Africa, right? Now, a few weeks ago there's a video of a guy that went TikTok. That went viral on TikTok. This is something that happened in Russia. A man was actually confronted by his wife at a movie theater, for cheating. Turns out homeboy is so romantic. So what happened was he just went there with a different woman and he bought one heck of a giant flower. He bought the whole shop. And gave to that wonderful lady. I don't know how creative homeboy is at lying, but from the look of things, the lady that he was did not know that he was married, because the first thing his wife said when he walked in and saw them was rightfully so, she started yelling at the husband. So the woman was sort of like wondering what's going on. The side chick that the guy took to the movies. And then the woman now had to turn to this poor side chick and to tell her, I'm his wife. Now, at this point, I just have my popcorns and I'm saying, Duolingo, thank you so much, because boy, am I having a good time. Now, the first thing the woman yelled at the husband when she walked in was, you told me you were at work. That's when I was like, oh, this should be fun. They just got my popcorns and I'm like, okay, now, they're just exchanging words here. The side chick here is just confused, like, what's going on here? And the wife is like, oh boy, you poor thing. I'm actually his wife. And, well, the side chick was super pissed. Now, it's either she's an excellent actor, or homeboy has a PhD in giving false testimony. If you catch the, you know, Ten Commandments reference. Now, politicians, it's either that can be applied to what goes on in the world of politics. It's either the politicians we have are very good at lying, or we are really dumb and easily manipulated. One of these two. And they can't all be both true. Oh, well, to be fair, majority of them, you know, are going with the, I'm not into politics. So what we're going to be looking at here is, that contradiction of what we want versus what we do. If you don't want to fall pregnant, why are you going 40? Because everyone knows that the result of going 40 is pregnancy. Like, at that age, if you don't know that, perhaps you shouldn't be doing it. That's just me saying. And you want to drive drunk, but also you want to arrive home safe. Are you sure you shouldn't even be driving if that's your thinking capacity? Because if that's your level of rationality, then I have an appeal to Natis. Please take away that driver's license. In the name of anything that is holy and for the safety of the general public on the road. And then you have Africans going, I will create employment. Well, interesting enough, they just put a full stop there. If you vote for me, I will create employment. They never say where. When I was in Zambia in 2017, one of the biggest running joke that I found in that country was everyone, especially non-Zambians from non-Zambians. The biggest jokes we were laughing at was that, just like all citizens in all countries, they also have a lot of both positive and negative things to say about their politicians. And, well, they were talking about, I think it was Edgar, was that Edgar Lungu at the time? So it turns out this was just shortly after their election. So what happened was the whole thing was started by one Angolan guy. And he was like, when your president ran for office and he was saying that if you vote for me, there will be money in the pocket. He didn't say there will be money in your pocket. Now, the stupidity also falls on your part for not asking whose pocket. Because to be fair, now that he's in office, there's money in the pocket, just not your pocket. There's money in his pocket. Now, when he was running around campaigning and telling all of you that if you vote for me, there will be money in the pocket, you all should have asked, whose pocket? The same goes for a lot of, basically for all African countries. When a politician says, if you vote for me, I will create employment, ask them where. I'm talking about employment in China, employment in Europe, employment in Russia, employment in America, North America for the most part. Where are you going to create? Let them be specific. I will create employment here. Now, the follow-up question is, how? Because from what we see, all the means of employment creation, aka raw natural resources, is being shipped out of the continent, and along with it is the potential of employment creation. Now, this employment that you are just creatively concocting here in words, how are you planning on doing that? The biggest problem with most of us is we don't ask these questions. The moment they just start, you know, they just stand up and say, a politician can just sneeze and people will go, I mean, that's an excellent point. He just sneezed. Hold your horses. Let's borrow money together now, shall we? Using the devil as collateral.
Hunger, they do me strong. They sing national anthem. Bucket dry like Hamatan. Hunger they do me strong. Belly they sing national anthem. Bucket dry like Hamatan. Even my shoes don't resign work. Baba God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger won't kill me. I say borrow me 10 billion. Hunger won't own me. If I no pay back, for Satan responsible. If I no pay back, for devil responsible.
Baba God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger won't murder me. As a borrow me 10 billion, hunger won't wound me. If I no pay back, oh Satan responsible. I'm using Satan for collateral. Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. It's just a comedy show. Take any of it serious and you end up into trouble, leave me out of it. But if you take any of it serious and end up, you know, being a productive member of society, I want some credit. Even the footnotes, they just, you know, just throw my name in there. Thank you.
I wake up this morning, I check the pot. Yesterday food finish, today pot day hot with nothing. Water they boil inside empty pots. Steam they come out. I close the lid. Pretend say something they cook. I count my coins since morning. In no rich transport. I trek 3 miles to work under sun. No escort. My shoe they open mouth. The soul don't separate. I use rubber band hold them. So you no go vibrate. I reach work. My oga ask why I dey sweat. I say na exercise. Hunger they make me forget. Lunchtime everybody job. I drink water, fill my chest. I tell them I already ate. God forgive me for that jest. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay. Overdue. Teacher put my child out of class, what I go do? I beg the teacher, give me 1 more week. She don't hear that one before, she don't even speak. Night time, I kneel down, whole family they sleep. I cry to God, quiet, the kind of cry that is deep. My wife ask what we go cook, I say God go provide. She look at me, she look at what, nothing there inside. Papa God borrow me 5 billion, hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion, hunger go kill me. Nothing to show, something no they right. My neighbor they cook, they smell enter my room. I swallow saliva, I pretend say I fool. Boom! I know they give up, but Lord hear my cry. Because hunger no supposed be the reason I die. Just borrow me small, I go work out to pay. And if I feel lost, now devil lead me astray. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me.
If I don't pay back, hold it.
And welcome back. So we continue with today's Mind the Gap. Pardon me. So what we want versus what we do. And, you know, sometimes when we want to do something and when we want to do something so bad and we are given a little bit of advice on how to do the right thing, we don't follow the advice. Actually, even if we're, you know, even when we go out there to ask for advice, 90% of the time we are not really asking for advice. We are looking for a point of view, or we are looking for people that will agree with the decision we have already made, so we can justify making the decision we would have made either way. Which is why just look at the framing. When someone comes to you with advice, just look at how the question is framed. You know, there's this guy that I just met. I mean, he's really nice. I've been single for a while. Then I realized that maybe I should just, you know, I should also, put myself out there and just, go back to dating again. I know he's, I was with him at church the other day. He insulted his mother, but he's just in the bad place. You think you should go out with him? Really? He insulted his mother at church. And you just defended him right there that he's just in a bad place. And I guess I can fix him. You think I should go? Really? You know, there's this, you know, there's this chick that I just made. I mean, she's, you know, she's smoking hot. And, and especially my gender, they will keep away all the red flags and go ahead and praise the heck out of you. I think I should, you know, just give it a shot. When things go south, I was like, I should have known. She, you know, when she did this and all his homies were like, wait, she did that? Yeah, that was before we started. Why didn't you tell us? Well, I thought I could. Really? You thought? Yeah, right. Of course you did. Of course you did. We know which head you were using. That's for my gender. It's long story, long story. But anyway, it turns out, that human behavior that is more often seen on a social level, it spills over into the diplomatic world. Where am I going with this? Of course, we're going to talk about, you know, Trump's visit to China. This is one of those things that also makes me want to hate mainstream media. I swear, at this point, I think news, mainstream media is ruining news for me. Here's how the whole thing was now reported on. Now, if you're one of those people that have been following, you know, what has been following what's going, what was going on in Beijing, then you know that, one of the most trending, Greek diplomatic name, I know, yeah, the man who was, ambassador of Corinthian. Yes, the very same Corinthian that you read about in the Bible. It's a real place. It's a real place. Traveling would have saved us a lot of trouble. Now, Thucydides is the name. Don't ask me why his name is like that. Thucydides was a Corinthian ambassador. Somewhere around 432 BC. 432 BC. That's a long time ago. That's a long time before Jesus was born.
Lipura nengendo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. unonge shefa ya pumbwa kukara ya govano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake nge shefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamweli nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Welcome back. Now, this guy called Thucydides, he was a historian, general, also a diplomat. Now, this is around the same time, the time this guy was alive, is around the same time that, Athens was in decline, right? Athens was in decline. And the Spartan guys were like, you know what, we're taking over. What you are seeing here is what's the modern excellent example of what have you know crudely described. The point is from as early as 400 BC, every time an empire is declining, a global empire is declining, there is always one that is on the rise somewhere. This is basically the same thing that we are seeing with with the US and China. Now, to this day, you have a lot of people going, what are you talking about? China being a dominating global power, and what are you talking about? The US's imperial decline. First of all, the one thing that we have learned about the most recent history in comparison to the Spartans and the Athenians is that empires don't decline in 24 hours. The British Empire, what's that common phrase? The sun never sets on the British Empire. Well, now it does. There was a time when the British Empire was the dominating empire. They invaded the US. Because it was growing a little too fast. How'd that go? Not very well. Not very well. It turns out when an empire it's hitting just the decline mode, it's almost inevitable. But there's one thing that never changed that a lot of people miss when it comes to observing how empires decline. The financial mechanism that was running the old empire, that never changed. It just shifts. Much of the financial mechanism that sustained the British Empire, it didn't decline when the British Empire declined and were basically the British Empire was rendered obsolete. That money just shifted into the American Empire. And once you understand it that way, from that angle, then you begin to understand the whole idea of old money. It never changed. The Roman Empire, did the Roman Empire fall though? Yes, the Roman Empire, the political part of it fell. But the financial part of it just morphed into what sustained the British Empire. And then when the British Empire fell, the political part of it did, but the money part of it just morphed into what it has sustained for a very long time, the American Empire. The question is this money also going to do the same shape shifting to shift and, to move and sustain the rising Chinese Empire? Because that army of CEOs that showed up in Beijing makes me raise my eyebrows and go, this is old money doing what it does best. Don't look at now. That was an army of CEOs. CEOs are just a bunch of executives. And again, an excellent way that the corporate power structure, the way that Richard Wolff explains it, and he's a professor of economics, so the man knows what he's talking about. He's describing it that way. Every time that you are looking at at an organization, especially multinational conglomerates, you are looking at don't look at the CEO. That's the guy that we are all focused on. Find out who the shareholders are. And believe me, that information for most companies is not easy to find. But most of it is just, they'll just send you through hoops. There's one website that I like to use a lot. Basically, and I look up shareholders of a lot of companies. And this is public knowledge. It's not secret. It's just that people don't like looking it up because a lot of them think it's irrelevant. But, decisions made by shareholders of most of these multinational companies influence politics that ends up, on a global stage, that ends up influencing your national politics, which means, in one way or another, it's gonna reach you. You don't have to like it. It's gonna reach you. Now, you just wanna be in the dark, or you wanna just wake up and realize, you know what? This is not going to start influencing me. Take, well, Kenya, for example. When their president signed the America First Global Health Strategy in Washington, opposition and NGOs in Kenya were like, yeah, hang on, let's just look at this agreement. This and this and this is what it's allowing. Now, especially in data collection. The American government itself is not going to collect this information. It's a private company that will be contracted to collect this information. That means when a private company is collecting it, a private company will use that information in their research, and then they will, what will come out of that research based on the information they will collect freely, what will come out of that research will be sold for billions, and how many of us will get a cent out of that money? It's that simple. This is the same thing that's happening in the tech world. A lot of information is being collected on a daily basis from you and me, and then that information is used to train large language AI models. And those models, and some of the information is compiled and packaged and sold to different companies for targeted advertising. How much money out of that information of yours have you gotten? I don't know about you, but for me, nothing. Yeah. So you are talking about doing that with health information that will be used in health research, and then that will be used in the manufacturing, in the discovery and manufacturing of different medicines that will be patented under private names, and then it will be sold to the very same people that information was taken freely from. Although, to be fair, that information would not have been taken freely. It would have been taken in exchange. Now, just ask you, if you want to understand how important information is, when someone is willing to give you billions so they can have access to information, ask yourself why. And these are billions in US dollars. And what they are saying is, here are billions, you can have this. All I just want is access to your information. You have to ask yourself, just how important is this information if someone is willing to put down $1 billion to have it? But no, Africans, we don't ask ourselves that question. As long as I'm getting my 30% commission or whatever it is that these guys are being given. Because there is no way on God's green earth you are telling me you are just signing those things blindly. For the medicine itself. And now, the whole commission part, every time that a big contract is signed, for a lot of politicians, that's not new. If you have seen the documentary by Andrew Feinstein, the South African, former South African politician, according to him, when I think it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, South Africa bought billions in weapons from, is it BAE Systems, the UK weapons manufacturer. And his allegation was that out of those billions came out of taxpayers' money. After all, these are weapons that will be used to do what? To protect a country. It's for the good of the South African citizen. But anyone that have made that deal possible to take billions of taxpayers' money and give it to a weapons manufacturer so they can have weapons that will be, in exchange. It turns out those deals comes with a lot of commission for the right politician that helped push all these papers to the right tables for the right approval. That's Andrew Feinstein, not me. Shout out, buddy. That's an excellent expose. Now, when I watched that documentary, I couldn't help but go, oh. Because for a very long time, I used to think that, when these African politicians sign these agreements, do they even read? It turns out they do. Oh, they do read. Okay, maybe sometimes they don't. It's just that, those agreements are coming with like a little bit of a commission. If this deal goes through, this will be your cut. If this deal goes through, an iPhone with two SIM cards will be your cut. If this deal goes through, a Mercedes-Benz with two engines will be your cut. If this deal goes through, that $200,000 you have in areas of your farming expenses, that will be, we'll take care of that. If this deal goes through, or a Range Rover with a license, with oil license plate, it is they read the agreement. They just don't care because, that's a lot of money. That's the commission is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And before you start to say, politicians are just sellout. Namibians, relax. Why are the requirements, or why were the requirements to acquiring exploration license raised? To include, you must prove that you have money to carry out the exploration. Is because when the requirements were somewhat flexible, a lot of the times when those of you and I acquired these licenses, what is the first thing we did? Sold the license to foreign multinationals. So when it comes to money, it's not just an our politician thing. This is an all of us thing. Let's not kid ourselves. What would you people do without Eagle FM?
Late night, city lights, bodies in the glow.
Break coming up in just 11 seconds and counting, and we'll continue on the other side with Electric Heat. I don't know who sang this song, but it's just fire.
Ritavazende kize imba izwezi pili loekerze mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwa nkufisa hamo chwalo ni mata amskavo na kare kana mitukiserize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye mufumane lisevelezo ze zwezi pili ze kakulifafela mashiling alika na 36 na mibien dollars kakweli kapa kamikwaye kutesfa fasi ye tatama 5% machipisa hamungo tisari kwerize talu 10% machipisa hamungo tisari kwerize sirela 25% machipisa hamungo tisari kwerize lishumi peri muketeri kwerize zo muvata kuri mukone kukala kuikola zendezewo imba imiswalezi fama chipisa imba tokubukanira fasi kaufela mwipe kwa lisebelezo za imba kachenu kuri mukone kuikola zende kaufela.
Yeah, worldwide connection from the island breeze to the city light. City breathing, shadows on the wall. Red lights flash when I hear your call. Every step like deja vu. Like the world been waiting for me to move with you.
Baseline talking, speaker shake. Heartbeat matching every break. Crowd so close, but I see you clear. One look and the noise disappears.
Hands on your waist, time slow down. Whole room fades when you come around. No rules here, just the sound. Gravity lost when we touch the ground.
We got electric.
After in the air, your eyes lock and I'm frozen there. Every doubt just fades away when your rhythm tells my heart to stay. Temperature rising every time you're near. Crowds come moving, but it's only us here. I don't rush, I don't pretend. Let the night stretch, don't let it end. World on pause when you touch my skin. Every spark pulls me deeper in. No control, I don't resist. I read your truth in every tweet.
We got electric.
When the sun go down, I let loose with the city sound. One love when the world spin round.
DJ spin that rhythm again. Sweat on skin, let the fire extend. No pressure here, just desire. Two souls dancing in real fire.
If the sky falls, let it fall on us. We already weightless, already lost. No tomorrow, just this now. I feel forever when you're
your heartbeat in my hands. Every look say what we mean. This energy don't need a screen. Lights flash fast but we move slow. Let the rhythm take control. Every step sync perfectly. You and me in real time frequency.
Pull me closer, don't let go. Even when the lights go low, I still feel you in my bones.
Turn it up.
Every single move got me feeling alive. Turn the dark to gold. Let the bassline speak when you pull me close. It's electric.
Body to body, no need to pretend. Lost in the moment, start again. Burning slow, but the feeling deep when you pull me close. It's electric.
Energy don't tell lies.
Electric.
It's electric heat when you and I meet. Yeah. 5 days later. Hey, honey, I have something to tell you. Hey, what's that? Hey. I'm late for work. No, I'm late for school. No, not that late. You're not dead, are you? No, I'm late. Back to politics before my, you know, mind just goes, you know, wild. So, let's get to diplomacy. Let's get to the diplomacy, you know, side of things. Human beings. There's a difference between what we want and what we do. More often, what we want and what we do don't go hand in hand. What we do is this, but we want to get somewhere there. So, Let's go back to the, you know, to why I'm, you know, why I made that, why I'm making that point in terms of diplomacy. That army of, you know, that army of, oh no, there's one more, there's one more. Africans want their economies to develop. They, you know, we want African brands to dominate global markets, but we don't want to consume African products. Where's that? It's made in Namibia. Nah, you know, I want something made in America. Want something, you know, something made in Singapore. Want something, you know, made in Taiwan. But I'm a pan-Africanist who wants to see Africa rise economically to the level of America, Singapore, and Taiwan. Now you see another problem here. What we want is this, but what we are doing is that. We want to develop, but we keep running around in suits, saying what the Afrikaans language creatively puts together as GMA on a diplomatic level. That's African leader, GMA aid as a belief, America as a belief. GMA, we GMA everything. GMA aid, GMA medicine, GMA condoms. We GMA everything. When are we gonna start making our own things? Well, the thing is, look, African leaders are just not working on investing in local products. Maybe that's true, but are you working on reorienting your consumer behavior to start using African products? That's a question that no African citizen wants to ask themselves. So it's very easy then to just point fingers, all the fingers to politicians. Don't get me wrong. Politicians, all the fingers, I think at this point, all the fingers have gone the direction of politicians so bad, we are not looking at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, you know what? Yes, politicians have a role to play, but so do we in terms of consumption. I mean, we are, pardon me, we're about 1.something billion. It's one heck of a market. But we don't want to consume our own products. We want someone to come and consume our products for us to develop. This is why I keep saying our level of stupidity needs medical examination. And as a result, what we are seeing is, take for example, if the African Union just decided, you know what, we are not going to import any products. So in other words, African consumers, whatever it is that you consume, whether it's clothes, cars, and all those things, you will have to figure it out. You know what? In 10 years, we'll be manufacturing cars. Why am I saying that? It's because every country that has been, you know, that has been under sanction, they figure stuff out. It's almost like every time that we find ourselves in tight situations as a species, we work our way out. But every time that something is provided for us, we sit in comfort, and our creativity just goes out through the window. Now, if you look up the Iran that is not coming out of Hollywood movies, you will see that they have some of the biggest shopping malls that will make you think you are watching a Hollywood, like maybe this movie, like maybe this building is, you know, is somewhere in Dubai. No, it's in Iran. Now, this is despite decades of sanction. Cuba, in research and development in medicine, after about what, like 70 years of sanction, Cuba is dominating them. So what is our excuse though? Because Cuba has been, this is just a small island, barely any natural resources, but they have managed to figure things out after years, after decades of sanction. And we are sitting on a continent that has all kinds of natural resources, and we don't have the skills. Well, only if we had the money. And then the money comes, we chop it all, and, you know, exchange it for iPhones with two SIM. It's not the money, it's the mentality. An island nation is dominating an industry we are struggling to keep up with. And that's the industry of medicine. Cuba is the boss. Decades of sanction. Africa, decades of independence and access to global markets. We're still going, I can't believe Donald Trump, you know, just dissolved World PEPFAR. Now our people are going to suffer. When was your independence again? In the 1960s. Then what did you do in between 1960 and now? Apart from going to Switzerland every holiday using taxpayers' money, not much. Well, now you know why you are broke. Because you keep on eating all the money, you idiot. And you know what? That is also one of those conversations we are not willing to have. That is until Eagle FM made one excellent mistake of getting a very talkative Kavango who's obsessed with history, then put a microphone in his face 6 days a week. Shout out to you, boss. So, let's talk about, one of the trending name, Thucydides, the man who died, which year did this guy die? The guy died in 400 BC. In 400 BC. This is about 400, because in BC period, years are counting downwards. Yeah, this is just about 400 years before Jesus was born. Because now you'd think that the year after 400 BC will be 401 BC. No. It was 399 BC. And then 398 BC. And then 397 BC. And then it came to 200 BC. And then it just came to until 1 BC. And then it started to AD. Hang on a second. Did they come to all the way to 1 BC and then start with 1 AD? You have to understand that, Jesus wasn't even born in 1 AD. So he was born, I think, somewhere around 3, 4 there. Oh. Jeez. Now, in 70 AD, now that one is an excellent one because that was when the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem, and also my favorite part, the explosion of Mount Vesuvius that microwave a whole Roman city of Pompeii. That's one heck of a... Now, there's one gentleman in those people that were cremated in position by Mount Vesuvius in AD 70. There's a man who was caught in the act. In the meme world, it's generally believed that this man was cremated in a position where he looks like he was single, and he could have been beating his meat at the time. And then he was just, cooked up like that. That volcano was just meat. Let's take one awesome music break, and on the other side, let's come back there and look at why I find it very infuriating that a lot of people are going, "Oh man, what did the Chinese president say about the rise of China? What is he talking about? Is he out of his mind?" No, he's not. Economist has been telling you that since the early 2000s. Napoleon Bonaparte told you that in 1817. What are you talking about? What's the Chinese president talking about? He knows his history. And I also know the history. So proud of me. Those that don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. those of us that know history are bound to sit there and watch a bunch of, well, CEOs repeat history. It's really fun. Welcome back from Avicii Levels. That came out in 2011. Jeez! I was in high school at the time, just trying to survive high school because that was brutal. Really, really, really brutal. So, and also fun. You know, some of the most awesome memories I have of my childhood were in high school. That's because, boy, did I spend a lot of time from grade 8 to grade 12. It's 5 years of my life. Huh. Now, in this, now, in the meeting, when President Xi and President Trump met, they did, as you'd expect when a nation's leaders of countries of that caliber meet, they have a lot of things to talk about. One of the things that the Chinese president mentioned was, he hopes that, the US and China can avoid what is called Thucydides' trap. The guy is, yes, he's dead, hence which makes the died part of his name much more fun to pronounce and basically say. But now a lot of people just went on, you know, those ones that are not history nerds. They just decided to what does Thucydides even mean? Those of us that are history nerds just decided to Spartans. What are we? Now, Napoleon in 1817 said the following: let China sleep. When she wakes, she will shake the world. That's in 1817. And that's coming from a book that was put out in 2017. 1817. Now, this book was published in 2017, titled Destined for War by Graham Allison, who's, I think, one of the professors at Harvard Kennedy School. Now, one of the things that's coming, you know, one of the things that's coming from Bro Thucydides was is one of you have no idea what sort of people the Athenians are. They are always thinking of new schemes and are quick to carry them out. They make a plan. If it succeeds, the success is nothing in comparison to what they are going to do next. Why does that sound like China? Despite all the sanctions of their tech, China just keeps coming up with new ways to give America a headache. And you have to understand that, again, for the millionth time, this is not something that's new. The British Empire really tried to suppress the growth and the emergence of the American Empire. Believe me, they really tried. They really tried. Okay, you don't have to believe me. Just read the history. For the love of God. Just for once. Please do. They really tried. Every time an empire is rising, the one that is already established, well, they find it jealous. Just think of it this way. It's like, well, you are just, well, you are... That example will get me fired really fast. It would be funny, but not worth my money. Now, let's come back to why, to why this was called, Thucydides' trip. It's this all, and also, yeah. And now, remember in 1989, 1990. Basically, you can just take it all the way to the 1960s. There was this whole, you know, there was this tension between the Soviets and the Americans. The Soviets, the Soviet Empire, basically the Soviet Union at this point has been in decline for a while. And that's the thing about declining. It doesn't happen in 24 hours. And one thing that you really just have to admire about the, you know, about how the Soviets, you know, how the Soviets and the Americans, you know, they handled the whole thing like grown-ups, which is basically admirable. They could have gone to war. The Soviets could have gone, you know what, we are not going down without a fight. Therefore, we'll just blow everything to smithereens. If it means, you know, us losing that global significance in terms of economics and in terms of economics and politics. No, they didn't. They're just like, you know what? Let's just handle this like grown-ups. We all have nuclear weapons. If we go to war, you know, we wouldn't have anything to fight for anyway, because we'll just render the whole planet useless. At the end of the day, there would be no winner. So, let's just reach an agreement where we just, do everything, you know, in paper way, you know, in paperwork. Just, draft an agreement. We sign this agreement so that, you know, there's no any further expansions, you know, into our region, which NATO violated left, right, and center. And that's, one of the reasons, put forth by the Russians as to why Ukraine is up in flames. So that's one excellent example. Like the Soviets and the Americans, excellent guys. That was awesome. Because they're both to this day, or more like what remains of the Soviet Union, which would be Russia today, and they handled it like adults. They knew going to war, nuclear powers going to war, is no one is going to image the winner. Now when the Chinese president was saying, I hope we can avoid Thucydides threat. What he meant was put in very comical way, which is what I'm, a comedian. The Chinese president was in the diplomatic way saying, it was fun while it lasted. Now, from the look of things, I'm taking over. Because, well, let's face it, you are in decline. And now I'm taking over. I hope we are not going to fight about this. Let's just skip straight to acceptance, which is what the Soviets basically did. They were like, you know what? You win. You take over. I mean, you're the boss now. And from 1991, the invasion of Iraq. I was like, Jesus Christ. That's how you introduce yourself to the world as in Impa. 1991, invasion of Iraq. Oh boy. And then just warmongering. And then they channeled, they tailored their entire economy towards war. And then a lot of companies decided, you know what, how can we make more money? Even though we have already made more. So we need countries that has, that is desperate for employment creation. We'll just take our industry there so we don't have to worry about, paying, things like minimum wage and also, labor unions. We don't have to listen to any of those. And so they shipped most of their industries, these American companies, intentionally in the name of profit, maximizing profit, they shipped most of their industries to Asia. And well, guess what? Those countries developed to the level where a lot of those shareholders are now going, let's bring our industries home. Okay, we are not addressing the elephant in the room. How did those industries go there? Those industries went there in the name of maximizing profit. If you're going to bring them here, are you sure the working culture that you have created after decades of locating these industries overseas, you have created a work culture that you should have created if you left the industries here. Now that working culture, the hard work working culture, is now all over Asia. Right. How long did it take for you to create this working culture that side? And ask yourself one question. How long will it take you to create the same working culture here? Because by just bringing the finished products from Asia to the US for consumption, you have created a generation of lazy people. All those years. Now, that means it will require a significant level of investment. To bring that, bringing industries is not enough. You're going to spend decades to create the same working culture. Good luck with that. It's really beautiful. Now, the Harvard guy, Graham Ellison guy, what he did was he basically looked at history, in that book, and then he writes basically a list of time periods when an established empire was in decline and another empire was on the rise. This happened about, how many times? 16 times that he was able to record from 15th century with Portugal and Spain, all the way to 1990 with the United Kingdom, 1990s to present with the United Kingdom, France and Germany. So, 15th century, Portugal is in decline. The Spanish at this point are on the rise. There was no war. A point of correction there. Yes, it's labeled as there was no war, but there was no war between the Spanish and the Portuguese. There was no war between the Spanish and the Portuguese. In the 1700s, that's when the War of Spanish Succession, kicks on and basically bring the whole empire down because people decided to keep it in the family. And it turns out genetics does not like that. Now, the first half of the 16th century, it was France and the Habsburg. That's what they're talking about. France was on the rise. The Habsburg, just say Spain, was in decline. Now, the Habsburg is the guys that decided, you know what? Let's just marry each other's cousins and aunties and uncles and nephews to make sure that power is in the family. And then that took, after about 200 years, that took a genetic toll. It turns out marrying someone you are related to for a period of 200 years, you are going to end up with only one testicle that is black like coal and no reproduction. That was King Charles II of Spain. That's why he died without an heir to the throne. And then that's what led to the War of Spanish Succession. His relatives had been marrying each other for over 200 years to keep the power and influence in the family. And biology was like, you know what? I'm designed for reproduction with strangers. Not reproduction with each other. That didn't end well for the Spanish. That did not end well. That's why I like to say that if you want to know who has more influence on what, in the world of politics, find out who is married to who. Because for basically all throughout, human history, marriage relationships have been used by rich people to cement political relationships. So, this is my favorite part. When a poor person marry for money, they are a gold digger. When a rich person marry for political influence, they are not a political digger or whatever they are digging for. They are digging for power. But no, that's called marriage to cement political relations. What's the difference? Bottom line is they are not marrying for love, like you like to claim, you know. So, I don't care whatever someone marry for money. Rich people do it all the time. That's why they're rich. You gotta love history. Like I swear. It's impossible to hate history at this point. Rich people had been marrying for money throughout the history of rich people. And those very rich people will start writing books and creating the whole notion that marrying for money is a bad idea. No, it's not. It's not. It's why they have been rich. Because they marry for money. Literally. Like, seriously? Have you read the history of... What's one of the biggest problem that royal marriages face in terms of marriage? The Japanese princess, forgot her name, I think, was that in 2016? Lost her title as a princess because she married someone who is not royal. And that's not new. In other words, she married for love, lost her title. And there is your homeboy, Prince Charles. And there is one Norwegian princess who is also going through the exact same thing. Every time someone of a quote-unquote blue blood, it's red, it's not blue. Every time someone who is blue blood marries someone like Helmut, it's World War III. Well, I thought you were supposed to say you're supposed to marry for love. No, that's supposed to be for poor people. How else do you keep them poor? Exactly like that. So if you are rich, just make sure that, you marry your fellow rich people so that you don't end up being poor. Well, poverty is not good for anyone. That's my favorite part about rich people. They marry each other for money, but they have managed to convince us that marrying for money is a bad thing. Now, Team Stingy Men's Association, I do not stand for the whole idea of marrying for money, because that's so bad. Because, you know, you are supposed to marry for love. Also, because I know that if everyone married for money, I don't stand a chance. But bottom line is, we are supposed to marry for love. Let's marry for love, because I don't want to die single. Now, it's very important to marry for love. Don't marry for money. Whew. Almost shot myself in the foot there. Ladies, marry for love, not for money. Marrying for money, bad. Really bad. Bad. Marry for love. Marry for love. Good. Marry for love. Good. Marry for money, bad. Rich people are smart. Rich people are very smart. You know, one of the lies that rich people have told us, that having a family is a burden. What's one thing that rich people are known for? They are very tight on family. But then they turn around and convince all of us that having a family is a burden. Yeah, it is a financial burden because of the environment they created with their multinational corporations. If they paid you what you are worth for your service, it wouldn't be a burden. There's one video that went viral of a McDonald's CEO eating a McDonald's burger. Bro went viral because he didn't eat the damn thing. Now, that's the very same guy that's running around and telling, you know, this is very good to eat. Why not eating it? Eat. First of all, I don't blame franchises because I eat their food. It's delicious as heck. The thing is, it's been taken to a level for those of us that are consumers. We have got to take responsibility sometimes, guys. For those of us that are consumers, we have taken it to the level where we have turned the whole thing in a lifestyle. You are not supposed to have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're gonna get fat. Oh no, you can't say that. Oh yeah, now let's wrap it up. Because I'm going full DJ after this. One thing I have come to learn about Slavic people, these are Eastern Europeans. The Eastern world in terms of Europe and the Western world are widely different. In Western Europe, I throw North America into that, into that bucket, which is where we have the influence of, when you ask them something, they tell you what you want to hear. Surprise, surprise, I just recently discovered. Eastern Europeans don't. If you meet someone from Eastern Europe and you ask them, do I look fat? And you are fat. They will tell you, yep, you look fat. At this point, a lot of us, thanks to Western influence, we are going to take that as an offense. But, Eastern Europeans are honest in ways that Western Europeans are afraid to say. I was like, that is why. So, if you are going to ask an Eastern European a question, get ready to hear the honest answer. Not what you want to hear. No. The honest answer. Do I look ugly? They'll be like, I'm not sure I can say that. Yes, you are. Do I look good in this dress? Bottom line is, culture shock I just discovered just on the internet. Eastern Europeans are like baby honest. They're like babies. Just ask your kid, do I look fat? A kid is not going to say, you know what, I don't want to hurt his or her feelings. A kid will be like, you have a tummy. Why are you even asking? at this point, you know, someone is looking at a time going, but what I do? Relax. Just, you know, chill. So, culture shock I discovered between Eastern and Western Europe. Eastern Europe, really, really straightforward. Let's cut to the chase. And actually, Eastern Europe is more, you know, is very African. And I'm not saying it's full of black people. No, you know, they also raise their kids with belts, which I didn't know about white people. I thought they are all cute and cuddly when it comes to their kids. Not Eastern Europe. No, they don't. No, they don't. They're actually, and you know, African and Eastern European parents go hand in hand in the way that they raise their kids. African and Western European parents, they're not gonna go hand in hand. Because when a Western European parent is gonna start saying, you're just supposed to sit the kid down and gently in a loving way tell them, an African mother at this point is going, sit them down and tell them what now? Sit them what? I'm not sitting them down. I'm sending a sandal at 200 kilometers an hour to do the work, to do all the talking, to do all the sitting down, to do, actually, the kid will be running. But, African mothers, if Africa wants to recruit snipers, recruit African mothers. Because if they are able to get a sandal to go in a straight line with 100% precision on the target, what do you think they are able to do with an M35? Let's go with one of my favorite. Is that American or British? Shatek Intervention M200. I just said do that. Okay, that's Call of Duty. That's Call of Duty. There's Modern Warfare, but Shatek Intervention is not even featured in there. Is it though? Must be one of the missions, but that's must be Beretta M83. But the mobile one is just. I have to check if the Call of Duty mobile guns, which happens to be my favorite because I play that a lot, also even exist in real life. LW3 Tundra. No. Locust, DLQ, hardly doubt. Now that I have done all the talking into cooking everyone, and apologies to the Eastern Europeans for catching the strays, but believe me, African mothers or African parents, if you are looking for white friends, get yourself Eastern European parents. You guys will sink just like that. Because you raise kids the same way. Where Western European parents will tell you, you know what, this is a violation of human rights. An Eastern European parent will tell you, do you have another sandal? Because I'm also good at that. And I'm also told Asian parents are like that. And I'm also told South American parents are like that. Their discipline incorporates a fair split of practical and theory. It's mostly practical, but let's just go with practical and theory. 30 minutes past the hour of 12. That brings me to a pause on my yipping and go full DJ. Except the DJ usually means disc jockey, but DJ in this case means don't judge. Oh,
about that day, it will be just you and I. just you and I. Will you be my wifey?
I will be your wifey.
Can't you love my lifey?
Angel of my life, baby, what I feel is so strong until a babysitter shows up. And then I will tell you that it was just a dream.
One spot, now she found her a replacement. I swear, nah, I can't take it. Knowing somebody's got my baby, and now you ain't around, baby, I can't think. I should've put it down, should've got that ring. Cause I can still feel it in the air. See a pretty face, run my fingers through her hair. My love, my life, my shawty, my wife. She left me, I'm tight. Cause I knew that it just ain't right. I was thinking about her. At every turn, trying to get my usher on, but I can't let it burn. And I just hope she know that she the only one I yearn for. More and more, I miss her. What will I learn? Didn't give her all my love. I guess now I got my payback. Now I'm in the club thinking all about my baby. Hey, she was so easy to love. But wait, I guess that love wasn't enough. I'm going through it every time that I'm alone. And now I'm missing, wishing she'd pick up the phone. But she made the decision that she wanted to move on. Cause I was wrong. And I was thinking about her.
when I get older, I jump up to the sky and talk to the stars about you. When I get deeper, I dive to the bottom of the seas and get these pearls for you, baby. Cause I got one love, and I can love you for the rest of my life. And I can love you for the rest of my life. When I get stronger, I walk up to my ex and tell her I'm history. I put a ring on your finger and love you forever and after, and show you with my love, cause you my destiny, my ebony, my ivory, on my piano key, the reason why I travel through the seven seas, cause you are mine.
Cause I got one love, and I will love you until January when the divorce comes in the media. When the divorce cases in Namibia are high, that's in January. Sorry, I'm not supposed to be talking. It's DJ time.
It's already weekend. be the one the man them are asking till right now you coming back. Me love the way you do the things that you do, girl. Please don't be done with that. Please don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, girl. Put it for me like that. If I ever get the money in your life, girl, there is no going back. Give it to me, baby.
all the ghettos around the world. Dig this. Get a fabulous joke. Shut
all it. The children say. There's a world out there that I want to see. There's a man that I'm destined to be. I won't be stopped by the ghetto streets. I believe inside that I can be beat. This life could be a ball and chain if you let yourself get caught in the game. I had some friends who drugs for dough, but I don't intend to go down that road. One day I'm gonna change the world, make a better place for every boy and girl. Everyone in need, homeless families, have a place to sleep and food to eat. I'll take every gun off the street so another tear won't be shed in grief. In every thug, in every hood, I will make a change from bad to good.
You're still listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM, and it's 2 minutes to the hour of one. Obviously, that brings us to the end, but we still, you know, just to wrap things up. I find human behavior fascinating, and human behavior is a political way of putting it. The Mind the Gap we're putting it is a human stupidity fascinating, because there's almost there's more often a stark contrast between what we want versus what we do. What we want is this, but we are doing the opposite of what will get us to what we want. Politicians want to create employment by shipping all the means of employment creation out of the continent. Congratulations. You are going to miraculously create. And you know what? You know what? Instead of asking genuine questions like, Oga, you say you'll create employment. Why are you shipping all these natural resources out of the continent? You know what we do? We go to church and pray for miracles. You have got to be kidding me. I'm not saying don't go to church and pray for miracles. Although, to be fair, the word miracles at this point is being abused. It's being abused. If I was to sit at home every day and then just start praying, I want to get married the next day. Lord, send me. You're supposed to pray and go out there and ask someone's daughter, that poor someone's daughter who say yes to that kind of nonsense. You know, you're supposed to go out there and ask. But what we do is, the guy, and oh, by the way, one of the richest pastors on the planet, Kenneth Copeland, just had a heart surgery. Why didn't he pray a miracle into that heart? Because he knew that's not gonna work. Now, I consider myself very religious. It's just that my point of view on religion is very observant. So, you tell me. When you tell me that when I need a car, I have to pray, but when you need a car, I have to contribute to your car. That's when I start going, right. So let me just get this straight. The God that you are more close to, that you sometimes have in-person conversation with, won't just slap a Range Rover miracle your way. For your Range Rover, I have to contribute. But for my Range Rover, I have to pray, even though I'm way far from that God than you. You are much closer to him. You have in-person conversation. But he won't give you a Range Rover miracle. I'm far away from him. Actually, I have more sins, and I'm not worthy to be in his presence. But I have to pray for mine. You are worthy of being in his presence. That's how holy you are. But I have to contribute my money for yours. What? That's just a lot of nonsense. So, that's why the whole idea of miracles, oh, we can have a whole type of discussion on that. You know what? This whole thing is, the devil is just making, no, it's not the devil. It's called the rationality. If I'm going to contribute to your Range Rover, we are going to contribute to mine. If I'm going to pray for my Range Rover, you're going to have to pray for yours. In other words, I ain't contributing nothing. But that's me. You know, that's me. It's called asking questions. You know who asks questions? Everyone, when they are a child. I like it. When their kids ask some of the most genuine, we consider them offensive, but those are the genuine questions we're supposed to be asking. We don't ask them. Like for some reason, when we grow up, we reach at that age where we lose that ability of curiosity that's only found in kids. Well, that's when we start going, you know what, that one, you know, just give him your money. He's man of God. God is all powerful. Actually, that is offensive to God. If the God that homeboy is in direct communication with is as powerful as he claims to, why am I contributing towards buying his house? And why is he telling me to pray for mine? And you know what? I ran into videos like that all over TikTok of some guy, you know, saying, you know what, send money and I see miracles your way. Dude, you are not serious. You see, so you can see miracles my way, but you can't see miracles your way. You have got to be kidding me. Just send me your money and I'll pray for you to have miracles. If you can't pray for your own miracles, I have so many questions. So many questions, none of which you're gonna like. I think that's the beauty of being born and raised in a Christian-dominated environment. Because now I... And also, I have... I have asked most of the questions to a lot of religious people. And fortunately for me, I was surrounded by people that are religious, but they are interesting, you know, very interested in curious, you know, curious about questions I had. And believe me, I have some of the most outrageous questions that, I have some of the people when I ask, like some of the people that I meet, which, you know, consider themselves religious, when I ask these questions, they want to pray for me. You know what? You are possessed by a demon. No. I'm not possessed by a demon. I have something called brains. So when someone tells me, you know what? Give me all your money and then, you go home and pray for more money. Hang on a second. I already have the money. Why am I giving it to you? Like at this point, if I was God, I would be slapping some of you. You gave away all your money and you are here. You gave away all your money, which I gave you. And now you are here asking for money. Like, just how dumb are you? That's Africans, by the way. Ship all the natural resources and pray for miracles. At this point, God is going, I put you on a continent that has all the money, you idiots. At this point, all you just have to do is figure out how to use them and you'll be rich. But no, we're just like, you know what? I ship it all away unprocessed and then we'll go and pray to God for wealth. And at this point, God is going, what do you people want from me? I gave you the wealth. You are walking around on it. It's just that you have been lied to, that all your wealth is here. Newsflash, it's not here. That's why I put it down there. Welcome to Africa. You're gonna love us. And also, that's a little pathetic, let's face it. There are two tricks. Actually, one of the biggest, interesting thing on human behavior. And that's people telling themselves, you know what? I will just give all my money to the man of God so that God can bless me. How about I just keep all my money with me and then I will pray for God to bless the pastor. That will work. Actually, that makes more sense to me. What you are not going to convince me is for me to give all my money to the pastor and then go home and pray to God for God to bless me. Nope. I will keep my money and then I will pray to God for God to bless the pastor. And also me. I think that would work. What we are not convincing is me to give all my money to a man who is even more close proximity to God. And then I'll go home and pray for money. And then God gives me money. And then I will give it to the pastor again and go back to God to ask for... Like, at this point, it's a miracle God is not slapping some sense into us. If I was God, I'll be slapping some of you, I swear, because some of your stupid prayers. Oh, sorry. I forgot I'm not having a conversation with my friends. I actually have a microphone in my face. But let's face it, some of... It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Like, look, I do go to church. I believe in miracles, but my belief in miracles goes like this. I will keep my money. And then when I'm praying, I will pray that instead of saying, God, give me money, I would say, yes, God, I could use more money. But most importantly, that man of God who needs more money, bless him too. While you're blessing me, bless him too. Because I know I'm giving him mine, which you gave me, by the way. Well, I'm pretty sure you gave him too. So it's a no thanks on that one. Thank you very much. Now, just the last part. One of the awesome thing that, you know, biggest trick, I think the biggest trick that God gave to mankind, God played on mankind, is people with innocent faces. And I happen to have one of them. Wherever I go, people have an instant assumption of who I am. And when they get to know me, that's when they start going, hang on a second, I didn't know you could do this. What do you mean you didn't know? Like, what, you look very innocent. What am I supposed to look like? I didn't know that you can do that. Surprise, surprise. I can. One of the, you don't look like you can drink. What? What does a drinking face look like? Until next week, Sunday, you'll have a good one. Really? You like me? You don't look like you can say that. Huh? Oh. Goodbye. Till next week, thank you for listening to Mind the Gap. It's a comedy show. Don't take any political, financial, economic relationship advice. If you do and get into trouble, leave me out of it. If you do and succeed, I want some credit. I want, you know, you to mention at least my name in one of your speeches. Thank you very much.